do thank the Lord. I was up here this morning, and as I was speaking, then it registered. I told Everett this. It registered the sound. It's all covered up so nicely. It was so beautifully done. So anyway, thank the Lord for all those who have worked hard on it. And Everett, thank you. And I know there's a lot left to do, but anyway, we thank the Lord for that. Well, let's just ask God. We need Him to guide us, and so let's ask Him to do that. Father, we do thank You so much that we have Your Word, and we pray that it will be the lamp for our feet and the light for our path. We're lost without You. We're lost without Your Word. May we just be able to absorb it by Your Spirit. May my words be consistent with Your Word and Your will, and that we might be further equipped from You and Your book by Your Spirit through our time. In Christ's name, amen. I was... this grandpa thing, I really think it's kind of cool, right? But anyway, for Christmas, we got one of our granddaughters this Lego. It's a girl Lego set, right? And you know it's a girl because pink, blue, pink, pink, right? So anyway, so we have this set. Well, anyway, so I was trying to help her put it together, and there's about 5,000 different pages in one block, two blocks, you know, and then so we're building this thing. And I kind of thought, you know, this is coming along, and so I have this place. Well, anyway, I don't know how long we had worked on it. Worked on quite a while. And then somehow we put it aside for a little bit, and I don't know if it was that day or a couple of days later, and the unmentioned guilty party, who was a little younger in the same family, she saw this, and she decided it looked way too nice, and it needed to be totally changed. So we had this total earthquake, and this pink, pink, blue, pink set is now kind of, it's never will be the same. I was working on it the other day. My granddaughter said, "Can we work on that?" And so we went back, and I thought, "Well, yeah, we'll give it the grandpa try, right?" And so anyway, working on it. Believe me, I cannot figure out, because we didn't start with one. You're starting with all these different components that are all mixed up and goofed up. And I think, I said to her the last time, I said, just play with it. Just play with it. I don't think there's any hope. I don't know how it goes together again. You know, it seems kind of a silly illustration, but I think a lot of dear Christians, they're genuine believers, but they're not quite sure how the Christian life fits together. They're not quite sure how it works. And I think we really, obviously that's what we long for, right? We understand, we want to really live life at its full. We want to get the most out of life. And God offers that to us. But we have to pay close attention to what He has to say. The passage we want to look at tonight is a critical passage. Obviously, it's not dealing with everything in the Christian life we need to know. But it deals with a very important facet of the Christian life that we need to grasp onto. It follows in our thoughts this morning, but I want to build on that tonight. If you'll go with me to Romans 8, 5. Romans 8, 5. Excuse me. Now, I want to pick up in verse 4, and again, it's a sentence that goes back, but I want to just pick it up so we have a little more of a context. Verse 4, so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. I mean, that's living life as God wants it to be lived. Who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now, we talked about this morning. But he explains that more. We need to, you know, if we read words, we need to understand the significance of those words. And then he goes on to say this, verse 5. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So he's explaining, he's trying to help us get it so we know how to live the Christian life at its best. We step in, though, and when we step in the door of this verse, what we learn is the first thing is that some Christians don't get it. If we, and we've all been there and we all do it at times, we walk in the flesh, and that is going to mess us up. It does. You know, think of the things that have broken your heart over the years. Sometimes there are things that you had no control over. But sometimes it was things that you knew you weren't in sync with the Lord, you were resisting the Lord, and the outcome of that was heartbreak, not only for you, but probably for some other people. And so what God in his love for us wants to really get it, how to walk according to the Spirit. But we first need to know that it's also a possibility. We don't want to go there, but it's a possibility to walk according to the flesh. Now, he develops this idea of walking according to the flesh. Those who are according to the flesh, verse 5, for those who, notice our word for, takes us in, explains more for what was in 4, in 5, for those who are according to the flesh. Believers who are living according to the flesh. Now we've talked about the flesh. It's in our we have this human nature, this human capacity, and when we use the word flesh, it speaks of weakness, but also it's the impact by sinfulness. So it's that thing, it's that capacity we have that draws us into doing things that do not please the Lord and ultimately do not benefit us. But set your mind, those who walk according to the flesh, in dependence upon the flesh and upon its capabilities, set their mind on the things of the flesh. Now, set their mind. One Greek definition, one Greek commentator says to be minded in a certain way. Another states it, deliberate setting of one's mind upon a certain thing. In other words, what is our mind occupied with? You know, what it makes me realize, pondering this, where you allow your mind to go is really where you allow your life to go. Now, I think a lot of times we don't realize it. You think, well, I can just put anything, you know, it's like, you know, the old computer thing, you know, garbage in, garbage out, right? I mean, we all have understood that. And of course, I think it was it was more popular in the past because now, anyway, it's so interesting how the technology has so advanced. I remember when I was, this is totally unrelevant, in university when they started doing the computers. This is many, many moons ago. They had these cards. Maybe you saw this in a museum. You had a card and it had to be punched in. You put it in. I thought, this course is not for me. But anyway, what we put in our mind affects our life. Set your minds. Those who set their mind on the things of the flesh absorb their thought life. Now just think. Now, I think this is probably convicting to all of us, but what are sometimes the things that are just taken us captive in our thinking? Now, obviously, we talked about, you know, the sin of pornography this morning, but, I mean, it can be evil things that dominate our thought life. And obviously, that's what we have to guard against. The flesh it results in sinful stuff. But the flesh is also, it's not always just what is sinful. Because, and the reason we said this earlier today, but I think it's still, Paul, in dealing with Romans 7, in dealing with his struggle with the flesh, it's not necessarily he was trying to be as bad as he could be. He was actually trying to be as good as he could be. But he was focused on the things that the flesh can give strength to accomplish that it can't really fulfill. The flesh promises a false promise. You can be your own man. You can conquer the world, right? I'm kind of the mindset of our culture. Now, I'm not against, you know, we shouldn't have our mind just thinking about negative junk all the time, or I'm a lousy person, or I can't accomplish anything. God has a totally different plan. That is not his design. But we can just lean on our human resources, just fixate and focus on our human strengths without any concept of God in the picture. Now just think with me just a little bit how this might work. let's say a person has a really strong intellect. Let's say they're really sharp. I mean, that's a God-given gift, right? I mean, I wish I had more of that gift, right? It's amazing. I was talking to somebody the other day. It was actually a doctor I went to see, and he was talking about history. He was talking, and he's giving me all these dates, and he was talking about the United States history, and I thought, what? Why do you know all this history about the United States? I found it really interesting, right? But he was just rolling all this off his mind, right? I'm very impressed with all he knew. Now, there's nothing, this is not a slam on him at all, but you can have a tremendous mind but not be dependent on the Lord. Now, I don't know where my doctor friend is at all. This is not an evaluation of him. But you can have tremendous intellectual capability and not be dependent on the Lord. Now, let's just think in the realm of, I probably should state this verse, but I think Paul brings out this idea of leaning on our human strengths when they're not God's strengths. Paul said this, and this was in Philippians, and you may remember he's going through this large list of all the strengths he had. You know, he was a super duper Israelite. I mean, he was a Jew of the Jews. He was a top level dude, right? And for a Jewish person, just think what somebody walking by Paul, and if they knew a little bit about him, they would be so, whoa, what an amazing guy that is. And of course, he was pretty impressed with himself at that point. You know, he was going through, he says, if anyone else has a mind to put confidence in the flesh, I far more. Right? He gave himself merit badges. And he said, I was circumcised the eighth day, a nation of Israel, tribe of Benjamin, Hebrew of Hebrews. As to the law, a Pharisee, I mean the strictest of the strict. As to zeal, I mean zeal, passion, a persecutor of the church. Boy, didn't get, you know, I mean, he didn't just talk a talk. He got on his pony and he went to persecute, right? Because he was zealous. He was going to crush those people who were against the Jewish religion. Now, notice what he says about this, though. As to righteousness, now, this is righteousness which is in the law. From his standard, he was found blameless. Whoa! That means, now we look at that and say, well, that's silly. But he knew the list. And he was checking it off, checking it off, checking it off, right? I got that one, I got that one, I got that one. He exalted. In his mind, he was on the top shelf. But then he says, verse 7, but whatever things were gained to me, all that list of my exalted stuff, those things I've counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Now, let's go back to your illustration. You know, a strength. Let's say a person. I remember when I was in seminary, there were some guys. I mean, I thought, I am so out of my league. Some of these guys were so brilliant. You rub shoulders, you know, you have a guy, you know, and you know he's going to get a doctorate, right? And a few of the guys in my class went on to get doctorates, and they wrote books, and I have some of those books, and I'm impressed, right? Now, I think they've used their gifts for God's glory. This is not a put down on that. But you can be very intelligent and be an atheist, right? You could be very intelligent and teach in a university and have a doctorate degree and be very confident that you got it all together. But let's just think about a Christian who's very, very intelligent. You can come to the Bible and you think, you know, I am so smart, I got this all figured out. But listen to what Paul said in 2 Timothy 2:7. He says, consider what I say. Now, that's important to study the Bible. Dylan and Liam have been leading us in a study on study the Bible on Wednesday night. It's important to study the Bible. Learn how to study. He says, consider what I say. Study the Bible. And then he adds this, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. You see, it's like God has his plan. He works with us, but he doesn't just give us a passive role in the thing. but we are to be dependent upon Him. So consider all things. Consider my Bible. Consider the Word. Let it permeate your heart. Meditate on the Word. And may the Lord give us understanding. So see, it's not just our strength, the human capacity. Now let's just think of another. You think you have a person, and really, they're the nicest neighbor. I mean, and they're just great. They're fun to be around, right? And let's just say they're a Christian, and they look at the command, "Love your neighbor as yourself." And you think, man, you know, I am so awesome. I love people. I have such, you know, I really like people. But you know what? We can't love the way God wants us to love without the power of God to love. We can be nice, yeah, sometimes. But love is when we sacrifice for somebody, not just when we're nice to somebody. Now just think of this passage. This is one of my favorite passages in Ephesians. But Ephesians 3, I'm just going to read a few parts of it because it's a long prayer. But I just want to get this point. Ephesians 3:16, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory. I mean, this is big. To be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man. Okay, this is really big. Because the riches of God's glory, we are to be strengthened with that through the power of the Spirit in the inner man. And then it goes through different things, but I just want to jump down to verse 19. To know the love of Christ, and that word there, know, is to know it in the sense that I know it not only in my understanding, but it's beginning to express itself in my life. That His love so is a part of my life, to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge. We don't even know why. Because God's at work, that's why. Surpasses knowledge, that we may be filled to all the fullness of God. Filled to all the fullness of God. You've got to be kidding me. When we love in Christ-like love, we're being filled with God's qualities. That only comes about by the power of God. That is not, I'm just a nice guy. That is divine work. So, if a person just depends upon their human niceness or their human capacity, they're just walking by the flesh. I'm just, you know, I'm doing pretty good. God says, I'm not into pretty good. I'm into divine power in your life. Now, let's just think of another area. Let's just think in the area of resisting sin. So, you know, some people feel like maybe they almost are bulletproof, and you know, maybe they've had the privilege of being raised in a godly home, and they've made a lot of good choices, and they're really disciplined. You know, they just kind of got it together, and they almost think, you know what? You know, other people may be bothered by sin, but you know what? I can do this on my own. I'm doing fine. But you know, we forget what the Lord Jesus said in John 15. Apart from me, you can do how much? Nothing. Zippo. Nothing of eternal value. Okay? And not that you can't do something. I mean, we can all do stuff. But of things that have eternal value, we can't do it. We can't pull it off. Apart from me, Lord Jesus, I'm the vine, You're the branches. He abides in me and I in Him, He bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So I think one of the things in this whole walking by the flesh thing is that we depend on the things that are not dependable from God's standpoint. We count on the things that are on a human level, but not on the divine level. And what God wants to teach us, one of the things, is that we need to see our inadequacies so that we are almost forced to turn to His sufficiency. See, God knows how weak we are. We don't. He knows how vulnerable we are. And he's not trying to beat us up. He's not trying to discourage us. But he's trying to make sure that we realize that to make this life work the best possible, to live for his glory, to live in the very best way, it's not in our strength. You can't do it by the flesh. And so he's trying to encourage us. I appreciate this comment that was, there's a little a quote made by Andrew Murray some years back. He made this comment. You have to listen kind of close because it's a little bit long. Many Christians think because they have the will, it is enough. And that now they are able to do. This is not so. The new will is a permanent gift. For a Christian, we have a new will. You desire, if you're a believer, you have a desire to do the right thing. That's right. The new will is a permanent gift, an attribute of the new nature. The power to do is not a permanent gift, but must be each moment received from the Holy Spirit. It is the man who is conscious of his own inadequacy as a believer who will learn that by the Holy Spirit he can lead a holy life. So, when we start our day, we need to lean heavy on the Lord. That's why we need to go to the Word. You know, just as Kelly shared that song, we go to the Word because we need the Lord. We desperately need Him. And we need Him through the day. We need Him as whatever decision faces us, both the good times and the bad times. Sometimes it's in the bad times and the hard times, it's easier to be reminded to look to the Lord. A lot of times our greatest danger is when the day's just going smooth. Everything's so easy. And we become self-dependent instead of Christ-dependent. Now, we don't want to walk by the flesh, but we do want to walk according to the Spirit. So let's think about this. But, notice verse 5 again. But those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Well, what? Remember in verse 5, those of the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those according to the Spirit, the obvious understanding, they set their minds on the things of the Spirit. So if we're walking by the Spirit, we are setting our mind on the things of the Spirit. Now, what are those things? Now, I think this is an important clarification. The Spirit did not come just to focus our attention on Him. One has said, Christ came to reveal and glorify the Father, and the Spirit has come to reveal and glorify Christ. Now, think of this passage, and I'll read it to you, but this is John 16, and I'm sure it's familiar to you. And Lord Jesus is saying, verse 13 of John 16, but when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. Now, I'm just, for time's sake, I'm jumping down to verse 14. He, the Spirit, will glorify Me, the Lord Jesus says. For He will take of Mine and will disclose it to you. If we are Spirit dependent, we will be Christ focused. The same author that I just read made this comment. There is no advance from Christ to the Spirit, but there is a perilous decline where the attempt is made to give the Spirit prominence over Christ. I think that's true. Now, I think in our culture, in our Christian culture, and I understand it, you know, there's been a major focus on the Spirit, which we need to depend on the Spirit. The Spirit of God is critical for our Christian life. But we can't focus on the Spirit apart and be distracted from the person of the Lord Jesus Himself. Because the Spirit came to put our focus, the spotlight, on Christ. Now, thinking with that, the Spirit of God, when we allow Him to work, we depend on Him. And again, I just go back to what Kelly said. He always works in conjunction with the Word. The Word of God, the written revelation of God. The Spirit uses the written revelation of a God to focus on the person of Christ. Now, if we think back, context is so critical in trying to understand these truths. think back in the context of what we've dealt with. In verse 5, in Romans 8, 5, it says, set your mind on the things of the Spirit. But those things are connected in this context back to verse 3. Notice what the law couldn't do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did sending His own Son. Sending His own Son. Focus on the Lord Jesus. And as an offering for sin, He condemns sin in the flesh. Now, what we're saying is, the Spirit of God is going to take the spotlight and focus it on the person of Christ, because our provision for living the Christian life is found in the Lord Jesus. It's all wrapped up in Him. Think what when we talked in Romans 6, all the things it wraps around the Lord Jesus. He came, He died, He rose, and then the Spirit of God placed us into Him. And it says in Romans 6:11, even so, reckon or count yourselves to be dead to sin, alive to God. And the critical component, Dr. Newell, who used to taught at Moody, he said this in his commentary, is that little phrase, in Christ. Reckon yourselves to be dead, count yourselves to be dead to sin, alive to God, in Christ. Just think, we are in Christ. We're in Christ. By the Spirit of God has done this amazing thing. We're in Him. And being in Him, we have all the resources we need to live this life. He is totally sufficient. We have think back to Ephesians 1. We have every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Every spiritual blessing we need. Isn't that? Do you think we're missing anything? Now, we may not know it. We don't know everything we have. And we sure drawing on everything we have, but we got to know that we have it before we can draw on it. And so we don't know what we've got unless we learn of it in the Word as the Spirit teaches us and focuses on the person of the Lord Jesus. And then we say, wow, I didn't know that He was adequate for me to get through life. And especially in whatever area you're struggling with. Jesus is the answer. And I don't say that in a flippant way, but ultimately, what God has provided for us to get through life, to make life work, to do what is best and accomplish the purpose God created you for, is wrapped up in the Lord Jesus. There's no other source. And we don't need any other source, but we need to learn of our source in Him. And the Spirit of God takes the Word and puts our focus on the Lord Jesus. Now, I just want to think about, there's a related passage. And I just want you to think about this with me. Colossians 3, very similar idea. It doesn't mention the Spirit here, but it focuses on our provision in Christ. Colossians 3, verse 1. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, now that's true because by the Spirit we've been placed into Christ. We're raised up with Christ. Keep seeking the things above, where Christ is. Keep seeking the things above where Christ is. And then just dropping your eyes to verse 2, set your mind on the things above, not on the things on the earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. We are filthy rich spiritually. We're wealthy beyond compare. You know, you think of the people that have millions and millions and millions of dollars. But they can't make life work. Now, they may have a beautiful house. I mean, a castle. They may have 5 beautiful cars in their garage. But if they don't know Christ, their resources are nothing compared to yours who know Jesus. He's everything we need. And so the Lord wants us to joy Him. Now, if you think about the same passage in Colossians 3, and I think of the context, it would drive us, because it's saying set your mind on things above where Christ is. In Colossians 2:9, for in Him, in Christ, all fullness of deity dwells in bodily form, and in Him you have been made complete. Now, that doesn't mean we're experiencing everything at this moment. But that means we have everything we need in Him. And so, as we set our mind on the things above, or we set our mind on the things of the Spirit, we're going to be changed. That allows the Spirit to take our provision in Christ, our positional provision, and make it practical in our day-to-day. That's an amazing thing. Now, there's so many different things of what this means and how it should look. But I want to just restate this and then just we'll wrap up. It is not readily understood, one writes, that only the Holy Spirit can make experiential in us that which is already true of us in Christ. Now let's just go back to this thing. We are so wealthy in Christ. We are so rich. We have every spiritual blessing. But only the Spirit of God, and that's part of His role, is to take our provision, our riches in Christ, and make them practical in my walk. Now, what do you need? What do you need this week? You know, I talk to so many people in work situations, and so many work situations are so hard right now. They're just so hard. A lot of times, I was listening to this guy yesterday, and he was talking about just, and this was from a secular standpoint, but the increase in our culture of selfishness has escalated to a huge height. Selfishness. And he didn't use those in that term, but that was basically what he was saying. Well, you think if you have three very selfish people in your work zone, how is that going to look? No, they don't want to help you. No, they want you to do their work. No, they're not going to help in this situation. They're going to, you know, and Dylan might know all about this. But, you know, where are they when you need them, right? Why? What's going on? How do you deal with that? Well, one thing, you're probably going to have forgiveness. Where's that going to come from? Well, the Lord is our sufficiency for forgiveness. He's all about forgiveness. I can draw on His sufficiency. The Spirit of God can make me a more forgiving person of people who are absolutely driving me crazy. Or I may need courage. I may need courage. I know Dylan's needed this at times in talking to somebody who doesn't want to hear what he has to say. Courage to say what needs to be said. Not in a mean way, but in a loving way. Courage to... Where's that come from? The provision is in Christ. The Spirit of God gives us the power to be courageous, to do the right thing at the right time. And we could go down and down and down. Now let's just... I just want to think of three things as we get ready to go celebrate. In Romans 6, I don't know if you remember this, but the very first commanded to Christians is in Romans 6:11, reckon yourselves or count yourselves to be dead to sin. That's the very first command in Romans to Christians. That's a big deal. He said, okay, you've got this, now count on it. It's actually a word for faith. Believe it. You don't have to give in to sin. You can do the right thing. You have all the resources in God, in Christ, to do the right thing. Count on it. Count on it. Believe it. Reckon it to be true. And then second, we rely on the power of the Spirit of God to make it experiential. Okay, I see in the Word what I have. I'm commanded to forgive. I have the resources to forgive. The Spirit of God, I'm counting on Him to empower me to forgive. And then that last area is so critical. I respond. I respond to the will of God, to the principles of the Father. I know I have the resources. I count on those resources. And now I step out and do what God will empower me to do. That changes everything. I can actually live the Christian life, not in my strength, but in God's power. And that gives me hope. Now, that's not going to happen. You know, it's not going to be an overnight, you know, bam, I'm Mr. Super Dude. But the more I learn of what I have, and the more I depend on the Spirit of God to make that experiential, then I move out in confidence. Because whatever comes my way, whatever happens, whatever hits me, in Christ I have the sufficiency to deal with that. And the power of God, in the, through the Spirit of God, empowers me to handle it as God wants me to. So I step out. I respond. I obey. I've said it many times, trust and obey. I think this is a good thing to remember, though. And I quote, a lot of believers want the power to come before they move out in response to the commands of the Word. So when they read certain commandments in the Word of God and what God says to be true, they wait for some kind of strong motivation, almost physical shove from the Holy Spirit before they move. They want to see, feel, and experience the victory before they follow the command to get into the battle. That really amounts to walking by sight, not by faith. Because faith only needs the promise that God has already gone before us. So why do we inject that? Because we are not always going to feel, in fact, we usually feel weak. We usually feel weak. We are weak, right? We are weak. But He is strong. And so we move out, we step out. And when I step out, I can step out in His strength to do His will. God is adequate for every situation we face. You know, there's a quote. You probably heard it in the past somewhere. It was the Humanist Manifesto, number 2. It said, humans are responsible for what we are or will become. No deity will save us. We must save ourselves. Isn't that the saddest thing you've ever thought? How well are we doing in our culture at saving ourselves? We failed. The wonderful thing is there is God. There is a wonderful Lord Jesus Christ. We are in Him. We're empowered by the Spirit. We don't have to step out on our own. We step out in His sufficiency to do what He calls us to do. As we read the Word, we can depend on we find our source in Christ. We know the Spirit of God is within us to empower us, that might become practical. And we step out in His strength. That's a lot better way to live than the Humanist Manifesto. We live in His strength. We let Him be the Savior, not only of our initial sin, but for the whole Christian life. Let's just thank Him. Lord Jesus, we just want to thank You, thank You, thank You. You're so awesome. You're so wonderful. You're so powerful. And You've given the Spirit to each of us who have trusted Christ to allow Your provision to be expressed in us, whether it's in our family, whether it's at work, whether it's with our neighbors, whether it's among ourselves, we thank You that whatever we face, wherever we face it, we don't go alone. We go in Your strength. We step out in Your strength. Thank You. Thank You. In Jesus' name, amen.